We're going to pray and open our heart to the word of the Lord. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you speak to us through your word and by your spirit. I pray, Father, that you help me to say what is right about you. Lord, that we would truly believe. I pray, Father, that each and every person will hear the word of the Lord and faith will come in their heart today. And Father, that you be glorified in this service. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we began a series that I just titled Samaritans. It simply speaks to us of the love of God for the lost, the hurting, and the outcast. When Jesus walked this earth, the Samaritans were a despised people. At one time, they were part of the nation of Israel, but they had brought in all kinds of idolatry. There were many things that they did that were very ungodly and immoral. And in the time that Jesus walked this earth, they just kind of had their own made-up version of the faith. And I want you to understand that even though they were so despised and looked down upon by the Jews, Jesus loved those people. There was a tremendous amount of prejudice against the Samaritans, but Jesus loved those people. And I shared with you last week that he loves us no matter who we are, no matter what our background is, no matter what mistakes we have made, he loves us. And the one who loves us, he says in Exodus 15 and 26, he says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." I want you to know if you are sick in your body this morning, you need to hear that as a word from the Lord for you. Listen, he says, "I am the Lord who heals you." That's what he says about himself. He also says this about himself in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." There are a lot of opinions about God, a lot of misconceptions about who God is and what God does and what he doesn't do. If you really want to know what God is like, if you really want to understand him and you want to know him intimately and personally, then first and foremost, you ought to take note of what God says about himself. You know, the problem with opinions is that everybody's got one, and it doesn't matter whether it's right or not. And there's a whole lot of opinions in this world. Listen, America is very, very religious. You know, it's real popular, real cool to say, "Oh, I'm not religious." America is very religious. Most people just kind of have their own made-up version, not that different from the Samaritans. And God loves us. But if you really want to know what he's really like, listen to what he says about himself. "I am the Lord who heals you. I, the Lord, do not change." One of the greatest human needs is for healing. When you or a loved one are seriously ill, there's almost nothing that you wouldn't do. No amount of money that you wouldn't pay for healing. And there's so many that suffer with illness for years and years. Many who learn to live with pain or discomfort and limitations. Many in our culture that need healing in their soul, in their heart. Jesus came to heal the sick in body. He also came to heal those who were brokenhearted. In Luke 4:18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Everywhere that Jesus went, he healed people. Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Jesus healed people because he cared about people. I'm telling you that the Lord loves us and he cares about us. Jesus was moved with compassion. The Lord is still moved with compassion when his people are sick and hurting. Matthew 15:30 says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 19:2, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Great multitudes, he healed them. Matthew 21:14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I'll tell you, everywhere Jesus went, he was healing people. And everyone that came to him in faith was healed. Why do we have such a hard time believing that Jesus still heals? I'll tell you, so much of the religion of the day undermines people's faith. It is one of the biggest deceptions that he no longer does that. Just to reaffirm that he has not changed, the writer of Hebrews, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he writes in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ was the same in the beginning. He was the same when he walked this earth, and he is the same now, and he's the same in eternity. He doesn't change. He was our healer then, he's our healer now, and he'll always be our healer. That doesn't change. That's who Jesus is. And it is that deception, I'm telling you, it robs people of their faith. They say, well, he only did that for a short time. No. If you read the Bible, you see that the Lord healed people for thousands of years before Jesus walked this earth. And yes, Jesus healed people while he was here. He healed multitudes through them. I say, oh no, Jesus only healed people through the apostles in the early church. I want to tell you something. People that think that just haven't read the Bible. Philip was not an apostle. But listen what happened, what God did through Philip when he goes to Samaria. Acts 8:5-8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, of all places, those messed up people. Philip goes down there to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Here's Philip. He's not an apostle. But he goes preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, and people get saved and healed. Healing didn't stop. Didn't stop with the first generation of believers. In fact, for the first 300 years of the church, every major historian that wrote anything about the church noted that there were miracles of healings for 300 years, not a generation, 300 years. Then in 380 AD, the Roman emperor decided to make Christianity the state religion. And to do so, its principles, its beliefs, were compromised and watered down. And that ushered in what historians call the Dark Ages. And during that time, there's not many healings recorded. But listen, whenever the Bible was preached, there were healings. Martin Luther recorded many miraculous healings. John Wesley, this is so strange, you know, people who would like to think that they believe the same as John Wesley, they need to wake up. Let me tell you something. John Wesley recorded over 240 miracles of healing that took place in his ministry. And today, there are still so many miracles of healing that are happening all around, and yet people don't believe. It doesn't really surprise me, because they stood and watched Jesus heal people and they didn't believe it then either. And especially religious people. Religious people have such a hard time believing for the miraculous and that God heals people. The Lord, our healer, has not changed. Here's something else that hasn't changed. Healing is still one of the greatest human needs. In spite of all the medicines and medical advancements, it's still such a great human need. I know that when you talk about healing, there are a lot of questions that arise. And I'm just going to say, I'll be the first to say, okay, there are a lot of things that we are not going to know, that we are not going to understand in this life. But there are also some things that we should know and we should understand from the Scripture. First of all, sickness and disease came into this world as a result of the fall of man. It was not God's intention in the garden. No, sickness and disease came as a result of the sin of man. Sometimes it is our own sin, our own foolishness, that can cause us to be sick. If we don't take care of ourselves. There's a man in the New Testament who got sick because he was working so hard in the work of the Lord. I just want you to understand, certainly we can be foolish about what we put in our bodies and how we live, and we can certainly make ourselves sick, and sometimes that's how sickness comes. Sometimes sickness comes just because it is an attack of Satan. Jesus, when he healed some, he said they were sick because of a spirit of infirmity. That's part of the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Sometimes people get sick simply because we are living in a fallen world. And until the redemption of our bodies takes place, listen, until we have an incorruptible body, we are always going to have to deal with sickness. I thank God we have a healer, that He is our healer. Now, you know, when you're young, most of the time, you don't have to deal much with sickness. Some young people do, but most don't have to. But you know, as the years go by, sooner or later, all of us deal with sickness. We need a healer. We need to know, I am the Lord who heals you. Another strong deception that keeps people from being able to believe is that God only heals certain people. He wants some to be sick. Here's the deception. It must be God's will for some people to be sick. You know, so often the way that people fall into unbelief is through reasoning with the natural mind, whether it's just carnal scientific reasoning or the reasoning of religion. And so let's just turn the tables for just a minute. Let's just use a little reasoning here. So they say, well, it's God's will for some to be sick and God's will for some to be healed. Then those that it's God's will for them to be sick, well, in fact, I guess we shouldn't ever really pray for people to be healed, because we might be praying against the will of God. And prayer doesn't change the will of God. Prayer is how we bring the will of God. Jesus said to pray this way: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let me tell you, there's no sickness in heaven. So we pray so that the perfect will of God be done in this earth. Isn't it? If this is God's will for some people to be sick, well then we shouldn't be doing, we can save a whole lot of money, because we don't, listen, we shouldn't be going to doctors and buying medicine and having all these procedures and doing all that, because if it's God's will for them to be sick, it's wrong to try to get well. I'm just using the kind of reasoning they use. Let's just take it to where it goes. That's crazy. We pray for people to be healed because we believe it is God's will to heal. We're not asking God to do something He doesn't want to do. That's crazy. Well, we believe it's God's will for them to be, or not God's will for them to be healed, but we're going to pray for them anyway. That's not faith. I'm just telling you, don't allow that religious deception to keep you from believing God. It is God's will for them to be healed. I believe God wants you healed. I believe He uses doctors and medicine many times. Sometimes He just does it by a miracle. But however He does it, He is our healer. And He doesn't just heal certain ones. If that's the case, if He only heals certain ones, how do you get to be one of the lucky ones? And how will most of us ever think that we would be that lucky one if He only heals certain ones? Like you gotta somehow win the healing lottery with God. No, it is for all of us. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. He saves all who believe. And He heals all who believe. Listen to what David says about the Lord in Psalm 103, verse 3. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You know, most Christians don't have any problem believing that the Lord forgives all your iniquities. But so many struggle with the second part of that verse. He heals all of your diseases. The same one who saves us heals us. He heals all your diseases. He forgives us and He heals us. And that brings us to the next deception that we need to tear down. If you were a better person, or if you were more spiritual, God would heal you. We read in the book of Acts that He healed those Samaritans. Those people, I'm telling you, they didn't have all of their ducks in a row. They were messed up. But they believed the good news, and God did miracles there, and people were healed. You see, that mindset that if you were a better person, then God would heal you. That is the mindset that causes so many people to get angry at God. And they think that God is not just and God is not fair. They don't understand why this good person is sick, or why this good person died. Why not that sorry person? But you see, healing doesn't come because we're good. It comes because we believe who He is. It comes because He is good, and we believe He's that good. If healing is dependent upon our goodness, that leaves us all out. And if you're trying to be good enough for God to heal you, you won't get there. That's a religion of works. This preacher did not say it doesn't matter how you live. What I'm telling you is that you can't be good enough to earn your salvation, and you can't be good enough to earn a healing from God. Talked about it in communion this morning. Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous on our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It goes on in verse 12. It says that there are none that do good. And I know a lot of religious people want to say, oh, wait a minute, I do some good. It's talking about in the standard of a holy, righteous God, all of us have failed. None of us do good. But that's not the end of the story. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous. How did that happen? Because we were good? No, it just happened because we put our faith and the trust in him as our Savior. Romans 4:3-5 makes it pretty clear. See, how do we become righteous? The same way Abraham did, by faith. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, if you work for it, you earn it. That wouldn't be grace. You can't earn it. It has to be by grace. Verse 5, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Here's a really simple definition of righteousness, and it's a little more in depth than this, but just for simplicity's sake, righteousness is being right with God. You're in a right relationship with God. And how did that happen? By faith. Let me ask you a question, and it's okay to answer out loud. Somebody, please answer out loud. Do you believe that God justifies the ungodly? Okay, for the rest of you, let's go back to verse 5. Believes on him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. He justifies the ungodly. You see, if he has justified us, that means that it is just as if we had never sinned. If we have been made righteous, then we stand before God right with him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If your Father looks at you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what is there that would hinder you from receiving all that he has for you? We need to believe. You see, it is Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who wants to keep you under a cloud of guilt, under that constant feeling that you're just not quite there, you're not quite good enough, to keep you from receiving what God has for you. We're going to read about a Samaritan who was healed, Luke chapter 17, and begin with verse 11. It says, it happened as he went to Jerusalem. Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I just want to point out to you again that though most Jews would go way around Samaria, Jesus did not. He went through Samaria. He did not despise those people. He loved them. You might be despised, judged, looked down upon by some, but let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. Verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Because they were lepers. They were unclean. They were not allowed to come close to anybody. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed of their leprosy as they obeyed this simple command. It was a simple act of faith when Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest. It was the priest who would verify that they were healed of their leprosy. And so, in an act of faith, they just do what Jesus said to do. They weren't earning their healing. They were acting on their faith. And it's as they went, they were cleansed. Now, cleansed means clean. Because as a leper, they were unclean. They couldn't go to worship in the temple. They couldn't be with their family. They couldn't work. They were outcast from society. But now they've been cleansed. Verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." A Samaritan. Not one of the chosen. Not from the right family. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." What made him well? Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." The Bible tells us very plainly that the one who returned was a Samaritan. Now, it stands to reason that he was the exception because Jesus says nobody else returned except this foreigner. Now, the Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. How is it that some of these had to have been Jews and at least one was a Samaritan and they're all together? Because leprosy was an equalizer. You see, if you were a leper, it didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Samaritan or whatever you might have been. You weren't that anymore. Now you're a leper. And they all hung out together because it equalized them all. It was the common denominator. I want you to understand that all of us born in Adam's race have a disease called sin. It is the equalizer of all man. All of us were born sinners. None of us has any right to look down on others or judge others. It is only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are washed, that we are cleansed. And Jesus healed all of them. Nowhere do you find Jesus refusing to heal someone who came to him in faith. Jesus had compassion on that Samaritan and he healed him just like he did everybody else. It doesn't matter what your background is. He loves you and he will heal you. It's not just for certain people. Jesus did not suffer just for a few that he chose. Healing is for all of us. By his wounds we were healed. It is a deception that undermines faith that he only picks certain ones. Here's what the Bible says about the Lord. Romans 2:11. In the King James it says, "There is no respect of persons with God." In the NIV it says, "For God does not show favoritism." In the New King James, it says, "For there is no partiality with God." I want you to understand that when we go to God, he doesn't like some of us and say, "Well, this guy, he's my favorite, but that one over there, no, I'm not going to heal you. Forget it." I'm telling you, he'll save any who will believe on him, and he'll heal any who Believe on him. I am the Lord who heals you. I, the Lord, change not. You see, our faith can't be based on our goodness. That's what that boils down to. It's not about how good we've been. It's about how good he is. We believe the Lord heals us, not because we deserve it, not because we are spiritual, just because we believe who he is. In the ministry of Jesus, there's never one person that came to Jesus and he said, well, you're a sinner. I'm not going to heal you. Never happened. There's not one example. These other people, you know, they're pretty good people, but you stink. I'm not going to heal you. It never happened. Never anybody that came to Jesus and said, my child is sick. Lord, would you heal my child? And the Lord said, well, I would, but you know, you're not a very good person. If you were a better person, if you were more spiritual, he never said that. A man comes to Jesus and said, my little daughter is sick. Would you come and heal her? And Jesus is on the way. And on the way, they get the message, the bad news, the horrible news, your little girl is dead. And Jesus didn't turn to the man and say, well, you know, if you would have been more spiritual. What he turned to the man and said was, don't be afraid, only believe. You can add to that, you can twist it, you can deny it, but I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God says. It's the teaching of man-made religion that undermines people's faith and keeps them from being able to believe God. Healing seems complicated sometimes, but it is really as simple as this, simple faith. The problem is sometimes it takes a lot for us to unwrap all of the religious unbelief. We have to believe that it's for us. Sometimes it's easier for people who have never been taught and never heard the gospel, when they hear the gospel, to believe for healing than it is for those who have known the Lord. It shouldn't be that way. It all comes down to this. He loves us and he wants to heal us. He is moved with compassion for those who are hurting. But he wants and he waits for us to believe. Doesn't matter who you are, what your past is, what mistakes you've made, he is your healer. Maybe you're not dealing with a physical illness this morning. Maybe yours is a broken heart. Maybe you need a healing in your soul. I want you to know that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He loves you and he wants to heal your heart. Whatever has happened in your past, he is able to heal you and make you whole again. There was something else that happened when this leper returned to give thanks. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. The other nine were cleansed of their leprosy. There was no more evidence of leprosy on their body. It was gone. But leprosy was a disease that disfigured. Many times they would lose fingers or lose an ear or lose part of their skin, their flesh. But this man, Jesus says to him, your faith has made you whole. It's a totally different word than the word that says they were cleansed. God restored this man, who came back to give glory and give thanks to God. He made him whole. I want to tell you about one more person in the scripture. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 25. Just before we do, let me say this about the man who returned to give thanks. You see, many times it is those who are the least deserving who are the most grateful. Like the woman in Luke chapter 7 who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And Jesus said, the one who is forgiven much loves much. We don't deserve it. But he heals us, and he deserves all the glory. Mark chapter 5, 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Still happens today. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. This is amazing. The Lord did not pick her out of the crowd. He didn't say, you, lady back there, today is your lucky day. I've picked you to be the one I'm going to heal. No, she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. The crowd is upon him. Everybody is touching him. And he says, who touched me? For power went out from me. It was her faith. The healing was there. It was available. But it was her faith that brought the power of God into her body. They didn't know what was wrong with this woman. It didn't matter. What mattered is that she believed. We don't have to know all the details. We don't have to figure it out when we pray. Let me tell you something. Our God knows. Our part is just to believe. But it's so interesting. She is afraid. Why is she afraid? I think there's a couple of possibilities. First of all, she had a flow of blood. And it was against the law for this woman who has a flow of blood to touch other people, because that would make them unclean. And she presses through the crowd, and she even touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And here's the point I want to make to you. You don't have to do everything perfect to be healed. You don't have to get everything just right. Oh, I messed up. Now God's not going to heal me. I want to tell you this. He is good. He is gracious. He loves you. And here's what he wants. He wants you to believe. You see, the devil will use anything to try to tear down your faith and make you think that you can't be healed. You're not one of the special ones. You messed up. You're not good enough. None of us are. You don't deserve it. Maybe she was afraid. It was almost like she had taken something that didn't belong to her, something that she didn't deserve. We don't deserve it either. It's by his wounds we were healed. He paid the price. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. The Bible never tells us what caused the flow of blood. It didn't matter. Listen, but it could have been some kind of sexually transmitted disease. It didn't matter. What mattered was that she believed. How she got the illness wasn't an issue. Her background, her past, her theology wasn't an issue. What mattered was that she believed. Didn't matter what church she went to. What mattered is that she believed. And he says, your faith has made you well. There's a lot of different ways that the Lord heals people. Sometimes it is an instant miracle. Sometimes it happens over time. Sometimes God uses doctors and medicine, lots of different things. Sometimes God will give you the wisdom to eat different and change some lifestyle things so you can get better. But I'm just telling you, He is our healer. And all through the Scripture, there's examples of God healing people. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus healed this woman simply because she believed. There was a point of contact for her faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. And sometimes there'll be something in your heart that if you just do this, if you just have this person pray for you, if you're anointed with oil, but whatever it is, there has to be a time that you believe. Some are healed when believers lay hands on them. Jesus said in Mark 16:18, believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. There is something supernatural that happens when believers lay hands on the sick. It may seem crazy, but our hands God uses. Believers, like, this is part of the great commission of the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How do people say they don't believe this when Jesus is the one that commissioned us to do it? Do they not believe in preaching the gospel either? It's in the same paragraph. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Some are healed when believers pray for them. It says in James 5:16, pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another. So we pray for each other. In that same chapter, it also says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the leaders of the church, and they'll anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. I'm just telling you, lots of ways that God does it. But we need to believe Him for healing. Jesus also said, if any two agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. And so when we have prayer partners here, these are people that can agree with you in prayer and believe God with you. They're not here to counsel you. They're here to believe God with you and pray with you. I just want to encourage you. This is a powerful time. For some of you, it can be that point of contact. Some of you may say, I want to be anointed with oil. But however it happens, you need to believe God for healing. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You love us so much, that You want us to be healed. I pray this morning, Father, that faith come in our heart, that we truly believe today the word of the Lord, that we take You at Your word when You said, I am the Lord who heals you. Oh, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak that in our hearts again and again and again. Lord, that we truly believe. And Father, I pray for those that are sick this morning. Father, I pray that You would touch them. I pray the Holy Spirit would just begin even now to touch them. Lord, not just in their body, but in their heart, in their mind. Lord, that stronghold of fear and doubt and unbelief be torn down. That they would believe that there is a God, that Jesus is the same, still healing, still setting free, still doing miracles. Oh, Father, I pray that You show Yourself mighty in our midst, our healer. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Thank You for paying the price. Thank You, Lord, for suffering in our place. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.